Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, is just trying to figure out love. I've been trying to figure out why I'm single. I've done the podcast for too long. No answers. So we're just trying to figure out what the fuck love is. Okay, my guest today is a hilarious comedian that's been featured on Comedy Central, Netflix, and Hulu. She's the host of the podcast We're Having Gay Sex. Her new comedy special is now available on YouTube. It is Ashley Gavin.
Hey, thank you.
Hello.
First of all, great intro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe one of the best ever.
Wait, really? Thank you so much. I tend to have a lot of energy. I'm a little raspy because I climbed the stairs too fast 2 days ago. And
that'll do it.
I can't
especially
stop
from all
coughing.
The screaming as you're walking up the stairs.
Well, I was like breathing, not heavy, because I was like, because it was at the Glendale Galleria. And I was like, I can't let all these shoppers know that I'm out of breath climbing these stairs. So I was trying real hard not to let them know. And I was going really fast and I got lightheaded. And then I had like an asthma attack and I haven't stopped coughing since. Isn't that fun?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Whenever I'm going up the subway stairs, I let everyone know around. I'm grunting. What is it about? So I don't know how the Galleria stairs are, but the subway stairs are definitely specifically engineered. It feels like no matter how many there are, you're out of breath at the top of them.
Yeah. So the Galleria stairs are like, I can't remember which train you take when you go to West 4th. And then there's two sets of stairs. Well, four sets of stairs because you got one, then two, then three, then
BDFM.
Fucking four. Yeah. BDFM. Ooh,
BDSM. Exactly. Yes.
Ooh, Ashley, I have a question. Are you single, dating, married? Don't want to say, because that is an option.
It is an option. My podcast is called We're Having Gay Sex, so there's nothing off the table, really. I think it's so funny when people are like, if there's something you don't want to talk about, I'm like, my asshole has been fully bared to the entire internet. So I'm dating. I have a girlfriend, and we have talked about when we're going to get engaged. So I feel a little bit engaged. I feel a little bit.
That's
We're on the track. It is nice. It's very nice. I did not think it was going to happen.
How did you meet? And why didn't you think? Wait, first, why didn't you think it was going to fucking happen?
Because I'm 35. I don't know. I think you just hit a certain age and you're like, this is never, you know what I mean?
Wow.
I don't know.
I'm 52 years old and I've never given up.
You look phenomenal.
Thank you. I actually just don't know how old I am.
Do you want to take a moment?
No. I have to Google it every time someone asks me because I refuse to remember.
You have to look at those actor facts thing that's like Nicole Byer, 6'5", 300 years old. But yeah, I met this woman. Her name's Jen. She's lovely. I met her right before the pandemic at the, I don't know if you know it, Nicole, the Grizzly Pear in New York City.
I feel like I do know it.
It's hell. It's down the street from the Comedy Cellar. And when people don't have tickets to the Cellar, they go into the Pear.
Yes,
there's some horrible comedian barking on the street to get them in. I met her at the midnight show a little after my set at probably around 1 a.m. before the pandemic. And we dated into the pandemic and we broke up because we have an age gap. So
what's the age gap?
8 years. Pretty significant.
She's younger or older?
She's younger. So she was like, I'm, you know, queer out. I want to, you know, sow my wild gay oats.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, of course, like, how could I? We were very in love and we didn't have problems in the relationship. But how could I tell her no to that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how could I be angry at her for that? At least that's how I felt.
Would you ever do an open relationship?
So then years later, we met again. We're still in love. I don't think either one of us really fell out of love.
Wait, how many years went by that you broke up?
About a year and a half, I think.
Okay.
I guess I said years later, like it was like.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, was it 4? Was it 10? Was it 30?
Yeah,
how many years?
Well, I hope it's not 10, given the how old I am.
Oh, yeah, that math is bad math.
Yeah, that would be very bad math. But we met again, and I was like, well, where are you at? Because I'm not going to go into this again, you know, me being ready for marriage, you not, and mm-hmm. getting hurt again. And she was like, you know, I really think you're my person. I'm just kind of scared and not ready yet. So we were like, okay, let's make a mistake. Let's start hooking up and still see other people and kind of see what happens.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out, it actually turned out not to be a mistake. And what it led into is now we're in an open relationship. And it's been very successful for us. So yeah, it all worked out. And thank God. Thank God. Cause I was really like, I'm never going to meet. I really thought she was the love of my life the first go round. So I was like, this is frustrating if we don't get back together.
That's a nice little treat. So do you guys have like rules to the open relationship, or is it just like, whatever goes, goes, baby?
We have some rules. It's basically like just hookups. It's like no other relationships, no other serious dating. Just kind of like, you can see the same person again, but we're trying to limit emotional attachment. Kind of keep that out of the picture, yeah.
I see. That makes sense.
Sorry, my cat is rubbing up against the monitor right now, if you see this kind of moving around.
I thought it was my dog for a second, and I was a little confused. I was like, wait, how did he get over there? But he's on the bed having
a great
time. He's the cutest. He has a purple tail, and people constantly ask me, is that natural? And I'm like, where have we fallen so far from the grace of God that people think that dogs are naturally purple? It's also like an unnatural purple. It's just very confusing. And then everyone misgenders him. And they're like, oh, you're cute little girl dog. It's rude. I'm kidding. I shouldn't make jokes about it. It is important to some people. I personally call
them.
No,
they want you to make jokes about it. They want you to make jokes about it. They do. They do.
As
I promise.
Someone doesn't care, because I get misgendered on planes all the time. I get called Sarah a lot.
Do you really?
Yes. Because I usually fly without a wig, without makeup. I'm wearing like a little hat. I don't have titties.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, sir, what would you like to drink? And I'm like, a vodka soda. And they're like, I'm so sorry, ma'am. And I'm like, hey, as long as you bring me my drink, call me whatever.
Yeah, as long as I'm hammered, I won't notice what you're saying to me right now.
I don't give a shit.
I used to get misgendered when I was younger, because when I would play Call of Duty, because I'm that,
mm-hmm.
I would play on Xbox and I would have a headset and my voice is on the lower side. So the boys that I was playing Xbox against would like call me gay as an insult. They'd hear my voice and be like, gay. And it's because they thought I was a boy with a high voice. And I was like, well, kind of, but not
quite. The gay you think, dum-dums. Wait, so you have lived in New York City your whole life.
Yeah.
So when did you start dating?
Oh, man. I had secret girlfriends in high school.
Oh, my God.
I had two secret girlfriends.
What a dream. I don't know that life. What is it like to have a secret girlfriend in high school?
Some would say traumatic. We just, like, when you're a kid in New York City, where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey. Beautiful New Jersey.
Well, maybe, I don't know how far from the city you were, but it was, like, really fun, I think, to be, like, a teen in New York City, a horny teen in New York City, because there were so many places that you could go and, you know, you could go and make out. But when you're gay, you can't do that. So there's like super limited options as to, if you live in a suburb, you can
do that in New York.
I don't know. I was scared. I was just so scared that people were going to see. And also, like, it wasn't even about getting caught from someone I know. It was like, even if a stranger thought I was gay, I was getting caught. You know what I mean? Because it was like, it was me. It was someone seeing me being gay. So it was a little scary. And, you know, you were worried your friends would find out and they wouldn't, like, want to invite you to their slumber thing.
That makes sense.
It felt like it was scary.
But, like, there's a whole section of the city where there's a street literally called Gay Street. Why don't you just go down the village?
So weirdly, I feel this is so fucked up. I didn't like know about that. Like I didn't know gay New York culture. It was because the internet just wasn't like as big a thing back then. So I didn't have like gay role models on the internet. I didn't have like gay people on TV. I had no idea. Like when my friends brought me down, We went down to Search and Destroy, that like thrift shop on St. Mark's Place.
Mm-hmm.
Like we went down there once. That was like the first time I had gone to like the village. Like I just like didn't go down there ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like very new to me, the whole thing. And I was like kind of terrified.
I mean, that makes sense. I remember the first time I went to the city and we went to the village and I saw like all the rainbow flags. I was like, wait a minute. Oh my God. Is everybody gay down here? And I was like, what a treat. I love it. And I saw like my first drag show, I think at like 19 or something. And then I was like, oh, I gotta live here. And then moved to New York when I was 20. And then truly just had the time of my life.
Yeah.
New York is truly just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. Okay, so when did you stop having secret girlfriends and when did you bring them into the light?
Yeah. Specifically, that's how I said it to my mom. I was like, Mom, here's the thing. I have to bring my girlfriend into the light. I came out when I was in college. I kind of came out to myself and I came out to my friends and the people around me. I had a college girlfriend whose name was also Jen. We call her Old Jen, just to separate the difference. I know, it's so fucked up. I hate it. I like literally want to jump
off
the roof.
Are you still friends with Old Jen?
Yeah, a little bit. We keep in touch.
Huh. I don't keep in touch with any of the people I dated.
This is a gay thing.
I have no idea what they're
doing.
This
is like a gay thing and maybe specifically a lesbian thing. Because
maybe.
Our pools are really small. And also, like, I think it's just easier to have same-sex friendships. Not like for everybody exclusively, but I think you're like more likely to reach a point. But I'm not friends with my last two exes. Those are pretty silent. That's pretty radio silence.
I see. You know? Have you ever been to Henrietta Hudson's?
Yeah.
I went there last time I was in New York because do you know Christy Cello?
Yes, of course. I love Christy.
She was like, Nicole, there's a sign over here that I want to take a picture in front of. And I was like, okay, Christy. And then she was like, okay. And then she's like, let's go inside. And I was like, you know, it's a lesbian bar, right? She's like, how do you know? And I was like, I don't know. It's a famous lesbian bar. And she was like, is it? And so like, we went and had wine. We were inside. She's like, it is a lesbian bar. It was the funniest experience I've had because she's so funny. Her voice is so funny to me.
Yo, she's so fucking funny. Also, spot on impression. If anyone wants to know what Christy Cello sounds like, you nailed it.
Thank you. Usually I could do better when I'm not suffering from the staircase asthma.
No, you're killing it. You're killing it. If you had to play Christy Cello in a biopic, I think we could, if we had a really good makeup artist, I think you could do it.
I wonder if people would try to cancel me for doing whiteface. They'd be like, no, we got to get rid of her.
I don't know that. There was that movie. I know it was a long time ago, but there was White Chicks.
That was such a long time ago. I wonder if we could do White Chicks now. And then also there's a Michael Jackson biopic. He was not a white person, but the black actor that they had, they put the whitest makeup on and it looks so haunting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he looked pretty haunting as well towards the end. So, but, you know.
Hello.
Slightly.
A little. So, okay. When did you decide that you were like in love? And then had you been in love before?
Oh my God. Nicole, I'm chronically in love. I'm literally, I am a simp. I am, you know, I U-hauled with like every girl that I had ever dated. I literally took a year off from dating.
Wait,
how do you do that?
How do you U-Haul every girl that you date? You live in New York City. It's hard to break a lease in New York.
Yeah, it's fucking hard to break a lease in New York City. And then I'm the one paying this fucking rent. I'm always the one. Took me 10 months to get my previous ex out of my apartment. Ten months? It took forever.
Wait a minute. Why did it take 10 months?
Because I'm a simp. I have no backbone. I have no spine. Because I didn't put my foot down and I was just like, take your time, like find the right place. She was like between jobs. It was a mess. It was a total mess. It was a mess.
10 months?
This is like, I don't move it. Now I have like a rule for myself. I don't move in with people till I'm engaged. Like formally engaged. That's like my rule for myself now. It's a great rule.
I'm just really stuck on this 10 months specifically because it's like we broke up. So why am I staying? Oh my God. Okay, no offense to people who are listening who might be friends with this person, but she bad. She not good. Yeah. That's awful. I am so sorry. God bless. I just like can't imagine. And you're not like the first and only person where that's happened to, where like the other person just won't leave. I just don't understand that.
You know what I should have done? I should have been like, hey, I'm packing up your things. After a certain amount of months, I think they're 10, certainly, you're allowed to be like, it is time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move your things into storage if you do not find a place. And I'm so sorry to do it this way, but it is time.
Yeah.
That's what I should have done. Dude, I was so nice about it.
I moved in. I'm shook.
Yeah, there's another side to every story. And like the breakup, there are definitely things that I regret. But on this specific matter, I was quite nice. I was quite kind.
Too nice. Because it's not like Ashley's wayward home for girls. You got to get out of here. Can't be here.
Children.
Wait, I have a question. You worked as a software engineer at MIT?
Yeah. I worked at a research lab there.
So wait, like you're smart and stuff? That sounded rude.
No. So wait. I get it. I understand. I get it. For someone who let someone live in her apartment for 10 months, I definitely have too high an IQ.
No, not that. But like, MIT, I feel like, is really smart. I didn't go to like real college, so like, I just know that like MIT seems to be the smartest of all of them.
It's pretty smart. I didn't get into college there. I worked there at a research lab.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, they have a lot of labs that they develop, you know, different technologies at, and some of them are more academic and some of them are more like, the one that I worked at was a national security research lab. So there's a lot of like government crossover. So we worked on like stuff for the government mostly.
Oh, that sounds like fun and cool.
It was not. I mean, I quit for, I'm here doing this shit for a reason. This is way more fun and cool. I would rather work on my Christy Cello impression, you know, for no reason than ever write another line of code. Although if you're doing that, like, good for you. Women in STEM, yada, yada.
Wait, you write code?
Yeah. I wrote code.
I don't even know what that means.
I know. And there's no reason that you should. Yeah, you make internet things. Anytime that you open any computer device, a phone, an iPad, anything that has electricity running through it, there's some code in there.
God.
Maybe besides a light bulb, but even light bulbs are starting to get smart.
Ooh, a smart light bulb.
Yeah, smart.
It's funny because, like, I don't know shit about any of that stuff. And my dad wrote code, but he didn't pass it on to me.
Really? What kind of stuff did he work on?
He, like, the way you're billed on your phone is a thing that he, like, helped develop. Like, he worked at AT&T.
I was about to ask you if he worked at AT&T because they had a huge thing in New Jersey.
Yes!
They had, like, a big Bell Labs.
Yes!
Yeah.
He started at Bell Labs, and then...
Your listeners are turning this off as we speak. They're literally like, I wanted lesbian sex. What the fuck is this? Bell Labs.
Well, real quick, we're gonna take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk about lesbian sex. Okay, we're back. Let's talk about lesbian sex. What's your favorite thing about lesbian sex?
I love that, like, necessity is the mother of invention. So when you're straight, like, there's like a way that you're supposed to do it. You know what I mean? And even when you're a gay man, there's like a way that you're quote unquote supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But because like female sexuality is so unexplored and like, you know, like it's kind of a butt of a joke. Like men can't find the clit. Like, you know, a lot of women never orgasm. So it's like really unexplored. So like there's a lot more creativity that can go that you can like, you're much more free. You know what I mean? That's what I love about it. I don't know if that makes sense visually.
It makes sense. I think it makes sense.
You can get weird.
You can get weird. You could do a lot of... You know what's really interesting? When people talk about scissoring, because I'm like, the act of scissoring seems cumbersome.
It does seem cumbersome.
I've never done it.
I've done it a lot.
And it's not cumbersome?
It's not cumbersome. But the thing is that it really depends, just like when you're having sex with any partner, it really depends on the person. Especially when it comes to people with vulvas, clitorises, women, whatever. Like, first of all, scissoring is not what you, what like the media and porn has like. It's the better term is called tribbing. Do not Google it if you are at work.
Wait, what's it called? Tribbing?
Tribbing. T-R. You're Googling it right now. T-R-I-B-B-I-N-G.
Yes.
So basically, if you read any kind of book about sex, particularly like the female sex organs, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of dedication to friction. And mm-hmm. like, if you're like, what does that mean? It's fingering, right? Like when you touch a girl's clit, that's friction. But you can apply friction from like any part of your body. You mm-hmm. like when you're dry humping, that's tribbing. Dry humping is tribbing, and straight people do that. So there's all different types of positions that you can do to like take it to the next level.
In my brain, there was only one way you could do it, but then I Googled it and I saw many different options. And then to me now, it doesn't seem that hard. Thank you for enlightening me. For whatever reason, no problem. I get like ideas in my head where I go, that's the only way to do it. I can't like,
well, that happens with sex.
It does happen with sex because you watch a porn or two and then you go, that's it. This guy was trying to do
male female script. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I cut you off.
No, it's fine. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. He like, oh, we were laying down like spooning and he wanted to like fuck me that way. And I was like, my butt's too big. It certainly won't fit. No, thank you. And then he was like, just let me try it. And I was like, no, thank you. I'm so sorry. God bless. And then he was like, just let me. And I was like, oh, okay. God and then it worked. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that's a new way I can have sex.
Yeah. Even if he were to like have sex with you that way and he couldn't get as deep, there are plenty of women that actually like enjoy a shallower penetration. Mm-hmm. They don't like it as deep. So like for some people, that's actually like preferable.
I mean, I like any old penetration. I also like when my boobies are honked, and a lot of ladies apparently don't like that. I hooked up with a lady, and I was honking on her titties, and she was like, you're spending lot of time on them.
Are you queer?
No, I don't identify. It's very, very stupid. I don't talk about queer experiences enough. Or have them enough, and I'm not like actively seeking them out. So I don't identify as queer, but I'm definitely not straight. I'm just Nicole.
I think that it, like, I think people have this fear, and for good reason sometimes, of like the queer community, like judging their queerness. But to me, anyone who says what you just said to me is part of my community. Like, yeah, 100%.
Thank you.
Like, you don't have to have it all figured out or know the labels. Like, you just have to, like, not just want to fuck a guy. Like, you want to fuck more than a guy.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't like the term bisexual. Sure. I just don't like it. I feel like it says that there's, like, just two, because bi means two. Bicycles have two wheels. Right. That's how I know that. I don't like pansexual because it sounds, I don't know. Pans?
The branding, I gotta say, pansexual branding is not great right now.
It really
isn't.
We're
working on it.
I don't like it.
It doesn't feel accessible to someone who, like, is maybe more traditionally feminine, I think. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's, like, a lot of hair dye and septum piercings. But, like, it can be anybody, you know?
Yeah. I guess I truly just, like, I don't love a label. Like, I was talking to someone, and I was like... They were like, well, are you non-binary? And I was like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel more masculine some days. Some days I feel more feminine. They're like, that's the literal
Nicole,
definition
you're gayer
of
than
that.
I am. you're gayer than I am. Like, you are. You're non-binary and pansexual. I hate to tell you this way, but that's actually what...
But I'm just Nicole. I don't like a label. I just find them to be so arbitrary and... Yeah. And silly because you change. Like, you're this one day, you're that another day. So, like, why label it? I don't know. Like, if I fall in love with a woman or a trans person or a non-binary person, I'm just like, okay, that's the person I love. That's who I'm with today.
And it sounds like that'll probably happen.
Listen, I hope so. I hope somebody... But also, here's the thing. I don't actively look for it. I'm usually looking for dick. All of the ladies I've hooked up with were, well, one I met on an app, one I met at my job, one I met at a bar. I guess I...
They just 10 minutes later.
I was like, having to meet them. I don't know. Wait, when this airs, this episode, I will have gone to DC and back. And I've been trying to like...
DC, very gay. Very gay city. It's like the gayest city in America. Yeah, it's super
really?
Gay. I sell very well there. I went to New Jersey. I sold like no tickets.
Where did you,
there
go,
you go
in Jersey?
New Brunswick.
What's there? Stress Factory?
Yeah, Stress. Vinnie Brandt's Stress Factory.
Mm-hmm. I went to school with his kids.
Oh, really?
We don't have to get into that.
All right.
But hey, last time I played in Jersey, I was at Bananas, Go Bananas or something.
Yeah, yeah, Bananas.
Which is like on the side of a road, and then they like hung bananas up, and then they just stayed there all weekend. And I was like, I can't stay here. So I called people from the city, and I was like, please take me to the city. I can't stay
here. There's no way out either. When you get to Bananas, if you don't have a car, you cannot get home.
You're
stuck in Bananas. Yeah, it's like a horror film.
What a nightmare.
But we love you, Bananas. Shout out, Bananas.
Yeah, Bananas. Look, if you want me to come back, I'll come back.
Do you need to be mentally turned on to have sex with someone, or is it like that's all you need?
So it takes very little. I think it's called a demisexual person where you have to like have a connection.
Right.
I don't have to have a connection at all. I hooked up with this guy who he like pulled down his pants and I audibly went, oh, wow. It was so big. And he was so skinny and tiny. Skinny, tiny men really do love me.
I think that's a thing. I think that's kind of a look right now. For like a really tiny, skinny little guy, like what Timothée Chalamet is doing with Kylie Jenner, like that's like a real mood right now. That's on a vision board.
I don't like that one, Timothée Chalamet. I don't know if I love him with Kylie Jenner. I want him with like an art house freak. Like,
yeah, I agree. It is a little bit weird.
You know,
it is a little bit weird. Also, my girlfriend loves. She's bisexual. She loves Timothy. That's like her. Her hall pass.
Really?
Yeah.
He is not for me. Hall passes are so funny to me because...
Well, we're
open. I know it's like a fun thing. I know you're open, but for like close relationships, when they're like, you know, my girlfriend has a pass for like this guy. And I'm like, but like in what situation? Like, do you talk about like what that situation might be?
Right.
Do you try to get in that situation?
I was someone's hall pass once and she said it to me. And I was like, you have to do a check-in. You cannot actually meet. The hall pass is totally hypothetical. So I was like, call her right now. Yeah. Let's do a FaceTime. She's like, she loves you. She'll freak out. And I was like, are you giving permission to your girlfriend to actually, is this like a real life hall pass? And the girlfriend was like, no. What? Like, fully no.
That's so
funny.
Yeah,
you need to like, it's not real.
Yeah, it's not real. Yeah. Although I have done meet and greets where people are like, you're my hall pass. And then their partner's right there and they nod enthusiastically. And I'm like, oh no.
That's almost worse because then you're fucking this person thinking about the girlfriend being like, have a great time, sweetie.
Have a good time. I packed you both a lunch. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have chuckle fuckers?
Oh yeah. I'm very lucky in that regard. Yes.
Boy, oh boy. What a dream.
It is a dream.
I don't really have chuckle fuckers.
Harder when you're more into cis men. Like, I think women are more openly attracted to a sense of humor, whereas with straight men, cis men, they have like, it intimidates them.
It does. And it's annoying. But I have encountered some men who are like, boy, you're funny. And I like that. And they'll like, just leave it like that. And there's no qualifiers. It's like, you're funny for a woman, or I didn't think you were funny, or I never knew who you were in my whole fucking life, but now I'm okay with it. I just think I figured out why I don't consider myself queer. It's because, oh wait, shit, I went right away. Did I take my medicine?
As revelations in therapy often do.
Wait, fuck. It just truly went away.
Men qualifiers, intimidating women, or intimidating men.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Oh, maybe it's because I have to chase men and I don't necessarily have to chase women. Women hit on me a lot. And I think it's one of those things where my mother would always be like, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, some people have short hair want long hair. People who have long hair want short hair. Like, you just can't have what you want sometimes. And I'm always like, give me what I want, even though I can't have it, and I'm going to chase it.
Yeah. I also think there's something, like, really, I don't often get, like, the way I dress. You know, I know catcalling happens to everybody no matter how you're dressed, but, like, I certainly have a more masculine look, but I have days where like I'm running out in a pair of leggings, you know, or maybe I'm going running or something like that. And I'll see men looking at me. And when it happens, I'm like, oh, I'm like hot, hot. I'm not just like gay hot. I'm like hot, hot. Cause there's something, because of the male gaze and the patriarchy, there is something like inherently more validating, even though it's like in your head and it's not real. You know, and maybe that's part of it.
Maybe, because I do like when a man hits on me. I also like when a lady hits on me. I think I like it when it's more organic, because I've been hit on a lot at shows and stuff.
And like, women.
Yeah. Like, a Q&A at like a podcast is not where I'm going to get like horny and turned on and be like, OK, this is right. Very strange to get hit on in front of an audience of people.
That's like kind of why like you almost have to seek it out if you're going to do it, because women have a really hard time being the aggressor. And I don't mean aggressor in a bad way. I mean it in like the mating ritual
I get
way.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm usually the aggressor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to be the aggressor in a nice way.
I'm like, the name of this podcast is Why Won't You Date Me?
Yes.
It sounds like you're really getting dicked down. Like, I don't.
I'm not. It's been a while. It's been months since I've had sex.
Oh.
I was dating somebody, and then that, like, came to an end. And then I was just like, I don't want to meet a new person because it's too hard.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's like, it takes a lot to, like, open yourself up and be vulnerable and be like, I grew up this way. Here's why I'm like this. This is what I learned in therapy. And then when it ends, you're like, okay, so I have to start over and tell a whole new person all this shit. I do not understand people who are serial monogamous.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did it, but thankfully there were like years in between. There was like years and years and years. But I remember when I broke up with Jen, when Jen and I broke up, I really wanted to
meet
my
Jen.
No, new Jen. First time we broke
up.
New Jen, we broke up because of the age difference. And I was like, I really want to find someone. So I'm like, really going to put myself out there. And it was the first time in my life that I was like actively dating and really failing to find someone to U-Haul with. So, oh my God, it was brutal. It was brutal to try and let yourself be excited about someone. And just like, they're not it. They're just so not it. And yeah, it just was really rough. It was really sad.
Yeah. I identify with that. I try to force things a lot where I'm like, this person sucks, but I'm going to win them over and they're going to love me and I'm going to change them to not suck.
Yeah. Thank God Jen came back. That was very fortunate.
That is nice. I do have a question. I was watching a stand-up clip of yours.
Oh God.
And you were talking about boy lesbians and girl lesbians.
Those
are the two that go together. It is silly. So are you into more feminine women or more masculine women?
Let me clarify the clip, that it was a comedy clip and it was sarcastic. You can be any type of lesbian and date anybody.
I should have said that it full-blown joke.
It was a
because people don't understand jokes.
They really don't understand jokes. They really, really
don't. It's really wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I tend to date. No, that would be That would be an understatement. I exclusively date. I'm very attracted to femininity. I like tend to go for like, went back, you know, pre-pandemic before everyone in the entire world came out. Pre-pandemic, I dated like a lot of straight women, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe questioning would be a better term. I've dated so many bisexual women. I just like almost exclusively, I would say. Yeah, I tend to date really feminine women.
Did you ever go to Girl Nation? It was this club in maybe Midtown.
You're gayer than I am. I don't even know what that is. You're gayer
it
than I am.
It was in like the early, not early 2000s. I was in New York in like 2004 or five. So this is probably like 2007-ish.
I don't know it. I didn't even know it existed.
Boy, oh boy. It was great. It was like big, nasty, and dirty. I don't think it was around for super, super long. But there was like a super famous comedian before she came out who was like came to the club. And everyone was like, oh, my God.
Are you withholding the name of this comedian?
Yeah, because it feels weird. They're like already out, but it feels weird to like re-out them. Do you know what I mean?
It's like one of five. I mean, it really is like, I think it's like one of two.
It was Ellen DeGeneres just dancing on. And no, it wasn't Ellen. But it was a different comedian.
This is the other one. The other two.
And it was very funny because like a hush fell over the crowd and everyone was like, so she is gay. So she is gay.
And they took her
straight upstairs to this like weird VIP area. And it was so funny. And then later that night, a bouncer was stabbed. It was an exciting night.
At the lesbian bar? There was a stabbing?
Yeah, because... it was a really butch woman who was with a very, very femme woman.
There we go.
And the butch woman accused the bouncer of looking at the femme one. Not even flirting. Looking.
This is literally exactly what my joke is about. Because some butch lesbians, we can be so much more toxically masculine than men. Like, because we're so used to men hitting on our girlfriends because they're feminine that we just like, we're to an 11 immediately. Like the bouncer looks at this woman and then she stabs him.
Looked at her. She lost her mind. She stabbed him. And then we finished our cigarettes and went back inside. And then we danced some more. And then as we were leaving, the cops were called and they had her not in handcuffs, but in those like zip ties.
Zip ties. Yeah.
She was like in a zip tie behind her back and they were tasing her. And it's not funny, but it was truly wild. And I haven't thought about that night in such a long time. I'm gonna have to call my friend when I'm done with this and be like, do you remember that?
I want to know if Rosie O'Donnell / Wanda Sykes / Ellen DeGeneres. I want to know. Well, actually, with Wanda, the timeline doesn't add up because Wanda was 2009 that she made I'm a Be Me, which is one of my favorite comedy specials of all time.
Is that the one with the detachable pussy?
No, I think that one...
might be later.
She does the joke Adam and Eve, not Adam and Mary J. Blige. Do you remember that joke?
Yeah, it's a very good joke.
I fucking love that joke.
She's such a good joke writer. It's she's like fully insane.
She's my all-time. She's the person that I like pre me really understanding who I was as a comedian. She was like, her performance and her writing are like both so good. You can't tell what's getting the laughs. You know what I mean? Like they're both at that high level that I was like, that's what I want to be. Like just like epic performer, epic writer.
I wish I was more like that. I sometimes, if I write a joke and I can't beat it, and then like I've asked other people and they can't beat it, I'll be like, all right, let's really perform it.
Yeah,
so it's funny.
Time to sing. Time
Let
to make
really
a funny little noise.
2 minutes.
Yeah. I totally
and then the days
understand.
I'm tired, they just don't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, how did you get into comedy?
Oh, I was just sad at MIT. I was just so sad. So sad. So I knew I wanted to do something. You know, I don't know when you started comedy, but I was pretty late in life. I was 26.
How old was I?
I don't know how old I was.
Well, you were already fucking successful. I didn't want to kiss your ass when you came in, but like I was watching you and absolutely adoring you on Girl Code before I had even really gotten into stand-up comedy.
Thank you. Girl Code, a show where they paid you in exposure.
Yeah, I mean, so much of it's just so much of that. Or it used to be.
It's wild.
Now I think comedians have caught on that the exposure is not worth it. But back in the day, I mean, like, you're very popular, and I imagine a lot of people came to fall in love with you on Girl Code.
Yeah, I will say I was joking. I mean, I'm not joking. I got paid so poorly on that show.
You should have been paid.
But it is one of the very few times where I did something for exposure and it actually worked.
Yes.
So I am forever grateful. I may shit on it and be like, I got paid $0 or crusty little wigs, but it did launch my career.
Yeah, and you were fantastic. And I was at home. I just quit MIT. Knowing that I wanted to do something, I wrote a musical. I did a bunch of improv. I did all of these things.
Wait, did you do improv at UCB?
I did.
Did you like it?
I did like it. And then I had gotten to like advanced study and I had just started doing stand up and I felt already like stand up was just like so much easier to like make a career out of than improv. So I got into a class with a teacher who I will not name, but is well known for being sort of a not very nice teacher. I'm sure you can probably surmise who it is. He's had a solid career.
Oh, I know exactly who it is.
Yeah. So I don't know what he's doing now, but he's definitely worked a bunch. You know what, Nicole? What did UCB? I'm going to let you decide what you think of my choice. We were doing no one cares about this. Again, the views are, the downloads, just tanking.
I love it. There's like three little improv nerds who are like, okay, I also know who it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we were doing mono scenes and it was in an apartment and it had already been established that the person living in the apartment was starting a business in his apartment.
I love how you remember this.
I will never forget this. I'm a Scorpio. If you've wronged me, I remember every detail, and I will I will take it to my deathbed. Like, I have a list, dude. Like, there's not many people on the list, but trust me, I'm an elephant.
Okay.
So, we've established no setting up a business in your apartment. You're not allowed. The landlord is saying this to the person who lives in the apartment. No setting it up. So sometimes is going by. It's not really getting elevated. The landlord character comes back to the apartment. I was like, I'm going to elevate this. Or escalate this. So I was like, I came over and I was like, hey, I'm from Time Warner Cable. I'm here to set up your business class internet. You ready for me to set up your business class internet? The teacher stops the scene. You know what I'm trying to do. You've improvised, right? I'm trying to give him something. The teacher stops the scene, goes, why did you do that? And I was just in shock. I was so intimidated by this guy. I was like, I was just trying to give... I was trying to hit the second beat. I thought that was the interesting thing in the scene, and I was just trying to give it the second beat. And I mean, he just like lost it on me and then took a break and I quit the class and I never did improv again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I really don't think people have like, some people do, but some people literally don't have a grasp on how to speak to people, especially in a creative setting. And it's like, because in school I had ADHD, so a lot of teachers would just like shut me down or be like, be quiet or whatever. And I'm like, had one teacher been like, oh, do you need to take a walk every 20 minutes and that'll help you concentrate? I could have maybe been a philosopher or a doctor or a neuroscientist surgeon.
Or an improviser at the UCB.
Wait, Ashley, real quick, we have to take another break if you can even believe it. Okay, we are back. I cannot believe that that is how improv ended for you. Improv is such a dumb, joyous thing for me, but that makes me so fucking sad.
It hurt my feelings. Also, did you think the move was that bad? Was it that bad a move?
It's also never going to happen again. I mean, I am historically the worst improv coach in the history of coaches, but a lot of times I'm like, hey, that move didn't really like move anything forward, but also I'm glad you got out there and made a move.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I could have done the same move and it would have been funny, but like also I probably would have done put a little sauce on it.
Yeah. You know, I went into the apartment and I started setting it up immediately. I was like giving them business and opportunity to like kind of take the scene somewhere. But yeah, I don't know. It was just, I did my best. But maybe it's not the best move. What I'm getting from this, Nicole, is that your team, this guy, and that the move was actually not the best move.
I actually thought it was a very good move. I think it's a great move. I mean, you are painting yourself. I mean, also, you could come back as something else. Like, it's improv. Who fucking cares?
Right. Like, worst case scenario, they don't like the move. I set up the internet. I leave the scene goes on.
Yeah. And then you could come back as somebody else.
Yeah.
Or the business had another thing happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So you worked on Carnival cruise ships?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a Carnival cruise comedian.
And then was the audience? Okay. So people who go on cruises, no offense to me, are, I don't want to say a stain on the earth or like nasty people, but like the idea of a cruise ship is daunting, horrific, horrifying and disgusting to me. So like, were these people good people at your shows or what?
The cruise industry is a nightmare and it shouldn't exist. It's bad for the environment and it's bad. There's no labor laws on it. There should be a union. It's insane what they do to people who work on the cruise, not the comedians. I was their first openly gay comedian. And I gotta say, the people were like, I would describe them as either Republicans, you know, or a kind of middle America, like from the middle of nowhere Republicans, or like kind of apolitical. Like no one.
Okay.
There's not a lot of like thoughtful dialogue happening on a Carnival cruise. And yeah, I experienced some of the worst homophobia I'd ever experienced in my life. I mean, for sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was it like heckling or like people finding you after the show?
The first cruise was the worst because they put me out of Galveston, Texas, because it's supposedly the easiest audience. But here's the thing, Nicole. It's not the easiest audience if you are a good comedian. If you are a good, interesting comedian, if you tell smart jokes, they're just going to be like, they're so difficult because they just want cruise bullshit. So I got up there on my first one. I sat on my R-rated show, which was the only show I was allowed to be gay on. On the PG show, I couldn't mention that I was gay. Yeah.
That's literally insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nuts.
How fully, truly unhinged and wild.
Yeah. I don't want to. They're going to sue me one day for talking about this. But right now I said I was gay in the set. And I would say like a third to half of the room just stood up and walked out as soon as I said it. It was crazy. It was nuts.
Oh, God.
It was like, living in New York was such a privilege. Like, it was hard to be gay anyway, but like, oh, my God, my privilege was checked so fast. I was like, oh, my good God. A guy the next morning came up to me at the buffet and said, hey, I want to talk to you. Your lifestyle is an abomination. I think like you can be saved or whatever. So like, let's have a conversation. And I had breakfast with him. It was
because I was like, no,
I was like, I got to rep gay people. Like I have an opportunity here to have a conversation with someone.
You know what's interesting? I don't think he would have done it on the flip side. If you were like, hey, straight man, I think you should hear something from me. I think he'd be like, leave me alone with my waffles.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
It's really interesting that you were expected to meet him halfway, but they don't meet anybody else halfway. It's really wild.
Yeah, you're so right. I didn't even think about me like, well, that's what they think we're doing. They think we're telling everyone to be gay. They think that our existence is a plea for everyone to be gay. But it's like,
I've said it on other episodes. If anything, the world is pleading everyone to be straight.
Yes.
That's all of the like content I saw growing up, all the Disney movies, they were straight people. Like, you find your Prince Charming, you wear a pretty dress. And,
right.
And then,
but they,
like,
don't see it. They just don't see it because that is what life is. That's just,
yeah,
that's just what it is. They don't think about it. They don't engage with it. His brother came out late in life in his 50s. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I was like, that's why we're having the conversation, right? Like, he is having this with me because he's struggling with his brother coming out. Maybe what that means for him, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, my brother coming out at 56, I think is what he said, is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And I just ended the conversation with, like, your brother just wants you to love him. That's all. That's all.
Yeah.
It was wild.
My mother was a Christian, and she taught us that, like, everything is fine and God loves everybody. And I'm just like, how come other people didn't get that? Where did she go where she got something different than everybody else? It's, like, really bizarre to me that we're just, like, so focused on, like, who fucks who and how people want to look. And I don't know. I keep reading bad things about, like, laws getting passed. And it's, fucking up my days.
It's really terrifying. I thank you for doing that. Like, I know you're gayer than I am, but, like, thank you for doing that and talking about it on your podcast. I don't think the straights, like, I don't think the straight liberals really know what's happening here. And it's, like,
it's
kind
terrifying.
Of scary. Like,
it's like fully actually scary.
You know, I want to preface that I'm Jewish on my mom's side. I'm not religious, but it is akin to some of the little trickling that you see with the Holocaust, Nazi Germany. It's very scary. People should be really like, what the fuck? You know,
there was one law where it was like kids have to, like, show their genitals to prove what gender they are before they could play a sport. And I was like, wait, what? Wait, what? Whose job is that?
Mr.
And how much
pedophile.
Are they getting paid? And, like, what the fuck? Like, that's not a job. That's literally, that's like, if somebody was like, okay, Nicole, in order for you to play basketball, pull down your pants, I would be like, great, I'll sit down and never move again. I'll never play basketball. Are you kidding?
But the thing is that they're kids. If their parents don't know, they're going
to
do it.
I know. And then adults tell them to do things, they're going to do it. And it's devastating. And it's so gross. I don't know. Gender affirming care is so, I don't understand what people don't get, that, like, boob implants for a woman is gender affirming care. Men having hair transplants is gender affirming care. So I'm like, why is it okay for the people living the way that you want them to live to have these things, but other people cannot? And then also, like, people change. I don't know. There's ebbs and flows. Some people are trans forever. Some people are trans for a little bit. Some people have titties for a while. Some people don't. I don't know. Like, I don't understand, like, why we can't just let people live. Boy, oh boy.
Because they don't have anything going on. And the system is broken. And capitalism, unchecked capitalism, has ruined them. And they have to. I think it's true with racism, too, right? Like, you just need a boogeyman.
Yeah.
You just need, like, or illegal immigration or whatever. Like, they just need something to be like, well, my life is shitty because of trans people.
I don't know. It's so wild that you can't wake up and go, my life is shitty because I work at the Dollar Tree and I make $7 an hour and my rent is $5,000 a month and I can't make ends meet. Government, help me that way.
Yeah, exactly. But don't you think it's a cult that if they were to reveal to themselves that they're not able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, that there is a rigged, don't you think that they would collapse internally? Like,
maybe, but also I'm like, let's fucking live in the real world.
Yeah.
Look around and decide what's going on. Like, I don't know. Ashley, we're never going to solve life's problems.
I know. This is how the show usually goes. Why won't you date me? And by the end of it, we're all going to die.
Sometimes, I don't know. James Marsden did an episode where we ended it where I explained to him what a bussy was.
James Marsden did your podcast?
I know. If you could believe it,
he did.
And
you told him what a bussy was?
We started off talking about Sonic, and then Oh, I also told, I taught him about scat porn. Thank you, Mars.
That is so cool.
So, you know, goes anywhere.
He came on to promote, he came on to promote his freebie show.
Yes, Jury Duty. And then
I've been watching. It's quite good.
It is good. But I spent a long time talking about Sonic the Hedgehog because it's my favorite franchise. And I've talked about it enough that I don't understand why they won't put me in it.
I used to pretend to be Sonic growing up. I loved Sonic.
I love Sonic
I'm more of a Mario girl, but I liked Sonic too.
It's me, Mario. I'm sad that he doesn't sound like that, so I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. It feels a little wrong.
So, okay, Ashley, we have come to the end. Is there anything you want to promote?
Yes, I have a comedy special on YouTube. You're going to like it. It's really good. I'm proud of it. So just go search my name on YouTube. It'll be right there. Ashley Gavin.
Okay. Ashley, do you have any advice for me as a single woman on how to get a relationship?
I think, okay. I just like want to encourage you to be queerer. Like, why don't you jump on an app? I think it'll be good.
Okay.
And I'm not saying no dick.
Maybe
like
I will.
Queer dick.
Yeah. Maybe I will.
Why not?
Okay.
It's harder to meet them in the wild. It's harder to meet them in the wild. And I know that's like what you like to do. And it doesn't, I'm going to tell you this, you can still be straight and do this.
I'm not straight though. I think that's
embarrassing. But you know what I mean? Like not by.
I think any fucking person who's like, oh, straight man, you're fucking embarrassing.
Yes, yes.
Like you're a weirdo who needs to stop.
But you can, you will eventually find a term that I think works for you.
Just Nicole, a little chicken nugget. I'm a chicken nugget.
Well, chicken nuggets are definitely queer because they're genderless and I think possibly asexual.
Oh, maybe. Well, I know I'm definitely not asexual. That I know.
Yeah.
I love fucking. Ashley, I have a question. Another one.
Yeah.
I ask all my guests this. I've only missed it maybe 5 or 6 times in the 100 years I've been doing this show. Would you date me?
I would go on at least a date with you.
Yay. Okay, that's nice. Thank you. That's a nice treat. Only a couple people have said that they wouldn't, and that has made me sad. Okay, so that's
people.
The end of this. Well, they won't fuck me. That's the end of this episode. But if you like this podcast, you can send me a dirty message to whywon'tyoudateme@gmail.com. No pictures because Mars has to look at it. And if you write me something nasty hitting on me, I will read it. This person says, hey, Nicole, I put the STD in stud. All I need is you. Oh, I get it. Lots of love. That was good.
Oh, yes.
That wasn't a nasty pickup line. But that was a good one.
Yeah, that was good. Also, kind of queer.
Yeah. Pretty queer. Ashley, that's it. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening.
I love you. Thank you so much.
We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.